And the pick is in every 15 and 45.
Hello, I'm Scott Steen with winnersandwiners.com. This is your game analysis at 15 and 45, taking a look at the Cincinnati Bengals at the Las Vegas Raiders. After getting off to a nice start in the first couple weeks, the Raiders' defense has been leaking oil ever since, and they've surrendered almost 27 points per game in their last seven. They gave up 41 to the Chiefs last week, and it won't get any easier this week as the Joe Burrow show comes to town. Unfortunately, Joe Burrow's bringing the Cincinnati defense with him, and that's the same unit that has given up 75 points in their last two games, including 34 to Mike White and the New York Jets. Now, neither one of these teams runs the ball much, with both being in the bottom eight in rushing. Look for a lot of passing and a lot of points, and this one should go easily over the total of 50.5. This is Scott Steen with winnersandwiners.com. Your game predictions at 15 and 45.
You know, when Michael Spillin kicks up the music, it's for Ian St. Clair. He likes the raucous rock and roll stuff, and perfect for Broncos Blast. Coming up next on our winnersandwiners.com hotline is Ian St. Clair. Follow him at Ian St. Clair. Read him at Mile High Report. Listen to the Mile High Report radio podcast. Read him as the lead writer at playcolorado.com. And this segment brought to you each week by the best place to come out of your shell. Enjoy it at Shells and Sauce. We did. We've got another birthday party planned down there this coming week. Hey, best thing to do out of a pandemic, get back out there and enjoy yourself. It's a lively, lively time. Everything made from scratch in Congress Park's cozy trattoria for more than a decade. 2600 East 12th Avenue, Shells and Sauce. And good morning, Ian.
Good morning, Michael.
Hey, I tease this by saying we'll talk about how realistic are the Broncos' playoff hopes at 5-5. But my real question is, where's the joy? Didn't we think that with a 5-5 record more than halfway through the season, Bronco fans would be excited talking about playoffs and cheering this team, and nobody is?
It's funny you mention that, because that's the exact question that Adam Malnati asked me on the podcast this week. And if you had gone back to the beginning of the season, like you just said, and said the Broncos would be 5-5 in their bye week, every single person would take that. But then if you look at the way that they've played and the games in which they have lost and how they got to 5-5, that's why there's no excitement. Because when you go from that stomping of the Cowboys to that, I don't even know what it was against the Eagles, just the latest embarrassment for this franchise, that's why there's no excitement. That's why no one is getting on board with this. That's why they're looking at Javonte Williams. And when you look at Pookie, he is one of the sole reasons to be excited about this team. Pat Surtain, Justin Simmons playing better. So there are little aspects of it, but as a team, there is just no excitement or belief in where this team is going and what's going to happen in the last seven games.
And that makes sense to me, and I agree with that. But we have left out one guy. He just got just the culmination to a wonderful story. Tim Patrick, 3 years, yeah. $30 million, was it? I love guys like that, overachievers. I talked about Tim Patrick as the Mark Jackson of the Three Amigos. You know, Vance Johnson had the flash and Nateel the speed and with Vance. But the guy I trusted when the game was on the line was always Mark Jackson to make the catch that needed to be made. Tim Patrick is that guy. He's one of my two favorite Broncos, as everyone who listens to the show knows. I love watching Teddy Bridgewater play quarterback compared to what we've seen here and had to watch in this town since the Super Bowl year. So I'll add Tim Patrick to that group.
I think Tim Patrick is a great story. I think he's someone that the fans can get behind and love his story about how he was doubted in college. He was cut, and then he comes in and just signs an extension with the Broncos. And I got a lot of questions after the Tim Patrick extension was announced. Well, what does that mean for Courtland Sutton? And I think it shouldn't mean anything. I think they still have the cap space to go after him. I think it could be a potential franchise tag if they can't reach an agreement. But I'm in total agreement with you. I think if you look at Tim Patrick, he's the guy that quarterbacks trust when they need to get a big play, and that speaks volumes to who Tim Patrick is. And if you go back to the Shanahan days, he's the type of guy that Mike Shanahan would have liked because he would do everything. He would have been the Rod Smith or Ed McCaffrey wide receiver who would block in the running game, but would go out and make the big catch, as you said. And I think that that's a testament to Tim Patrick and who he is.
And it's great because he's not a star, and so he has to do that. And it is such a benefit to the team. You see teams where the receivers block downfield, what a difference that makes. It's an unheralded aspect of success in the NFL. All right, it's bye week. Perfect for me to do my college basketball preview. I don't know if you got a Final Four for me. We'll get that at the end if you do, and a champion. But what should the Broncos accomplish in the bye week? What changes would you make? That's a two-parter. What should they and will they do, and what would you do?
Well, if I had my way, and it could be exactly how I would do it, I would speed up the selling of the Broncos and the approval of the other 31 owners to make it official, and we could happen now so that then we don't have these problems going into January where, well, we think a new owner is coming on, but they're not going to be improved until the league meetings in March. So I would fast track all of that because I think that's the biggest issue. And until that's taken care of, it doesn't matter what happens.
Okay.
So in terms of the bye, just, I don't know, do what they did against the Cowboys. Watch that tape over and over again so that it just becomes reverberated into their mind and it's just like, oh, well, this is what we did. This is what we need to do. And that goes for the coaches too, because the game plan that they had against the Cowboys to the one against the Eagles just makes no sense to me and I'll never understand it. So that's what I would do.
So, okay. Well, the yeah, a lot of things don't make sense, especially from the offensive side with this team. All right, the rest of the schedule is division heavy. That's why people could make the case that their fate is in their hands and they can step up and they could make some noise and maybe even make a run at playoff contention. Rank the teams in the AFC West, 1-4.
Chiefs, Chargers, Raiders, Broncos. And in the final five division games that they have, I don't see them winning a single one of those games. I don't see them beating the Chargers out of the bye. I don't see them beating the Chargers in LA. They're definitely not going to beat the Chiefs in either of those games. And I don't see what we saw what they did against the Raiders at home. So obviously things change. I don't think the Broncos or this coaching staff will. So to me, the Chiefs are still the favorite. If they can play the way they did against the Raiders, that's the team that everyone thought that Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and the Chiefs would be. So that, to me, that's the team to beat in the AFC West.
Well, you're our football guy, but I know you you are a man of many talents, sports writer, and PlayColorado.com. You, Mile High Report, it's all Broncos, but PlayColorado.com, you cover all the sports. What's your Final Four and a champion if you got one?
Well, I have to go with Kansas. I have been a Kansas fan forever. So Kansas, I think this is the time that Kansas gets back into its one championship every, 15 or 20 years?
They're in my Final Four, yeah.
So I'll go with Kansas. I think Villanova is going to find a way to sneak in there. Texas, I think, could be a sneaky pick. Aside from that, maybe Michigan, maybe UCLA. I'm unsure about that last Final Four spot. You could even go with Illinois. In terms of to get a little betting in here, I think the prior segment had said Illinois. So if any of the guests are looking for value, that would be a great value pick if you're looking for that in just terms of looking ahead to the Final Four. But I think it'll be those three teams, Kansas, Villanova, Texas, and then maybe UCLA or Michigan. I just think Gonzaga is one of those paper tigers where they always have a great regular season, and when it comes to the NCAA tournament, they always fall short and come up short.
Well, they've made two finals games, but they've never won it. And most people think they win it this year. I'm with you. I think Kansas and UCLA are stronger than Gonzaga this year, but Gonzaga's got time to put it together with some of their new pieces as well. Michigan, I meant to get into this with Mike DeCourcy, but we didn't have time. Last year, at one point, Michigan was playing the best ball in the country, but they've lost three guys. And once Isaiah Livers got injured last year, and he's not back this year, that team slipped from that status. So, you've got Kansas winning it all. Is that right?
As always, my wife always jokes that if I do when I do the bracket, Kansas is over because it's not going to happen.
Well, we have Kansas fans who listen who are pleased that you picked them. Thank you, Ian St. Clair. We'll talk more Broncos next week. We got a game to predict next week. Thank you.
Thanks, Michael.
All right, winnersandwiners.com hotline. That was Ian St. Clair. Next on winnersandwiners.com hotline, my former radio partner Pete Babcock, former president and GM of the Denver Nuggets, will look at college basketball from when he started scouting, maybe reminisce about some of his favorite Nugget teams.